Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicky and I'm sitting here at a beautiful table with beautiful people, Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hey, Dave. Hey, beautiful people.
Beautiful people.
Beautiful people in the United Kingdom we are right now.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so weird. And this table is glass, so I can see Dave's beautiful legs.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he's not wearing any pants.
Tailored
legs.
Too much.
my tailored legs.
Yeah. Dave refuses to wear pants as soon as we cross the threshold of the Airbnb that we're staying, and yes. Matt and I respect his lifestyle choices.
And when we cross it by me carrying Dave across the threshold.
Obviously.
Yes, appreciate that.
He's a gentleman.
I'm having deja vu. Have we done this before? Oh my God, I'm having full on deja vu.
Yes. Deja vu.
Whoa, this is tripping me out.
Nothing.
Deja vu is great. No. All of this is feeling like deja vu.
I think you're hungry.
Well, basically, we're just dropping in here at the start of the episode to say that we are halfway through our UK tour at the moment. We've met lots and lots of people. People have been hanging around after the show. It's been an absolute treat.
Yeah, it's been amazing. People are so lovely.
It's been really, really great. And the episode you're about to hear was recorded live in Leeds. And what a fantastic crowd they were.
It was a great fun time.
Oh, yeah. That was a really cool venue as well. And just everything about it was fun.
Yeah. Around now, if we're going in real time, I'm doing about 10 push-ups backstage, which Dave unfortunately revealed to the audience because that was a private thing.
Yeah.
I was doing a parody of someone who's about to go out to a show. That was meant to be a little joke for Dave and Jess.
Was that a parody?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit. It was a bit. It was a good bit.
I did not get parody.
That's a good bit. If you don't get bits, that's fine, but that is a good bit.
Well, let's let the audience discover it for themselves. We'll be back at the end of this episode to thank some patrons, some people from our Patreon. But until then, please enjoy this episode recorded live in Leeds. And thanks again for everyone that's been coming so far. And we cannot wait to meet the rest of you.
Yeah, hopefully the rest of you come real soon.
All right, on with the show. Hello, Leeds. How you doing? Thank you so much for coming out. Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. This one recorded live at the Wardrobe. My name is Dave Warnicky. It's not just me and you here. Please give it up for Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello.
This is awesome.
This is very fun. And I don't know if anyone saw that, but I spilt my beer all over myself on the way out.
Very rock and roll.
Yeah, very rock and roll. I was tempted to tip it all over myself, but that'll be the finale of the show. Look forward to that. Look forward to that. Oh, here we are in Leeds. Matt's sitting down?
Yeah, Matt's doing it. Yes.
I'm not going. I'm not weak. No, I'm weak. I'm going.
Everyone in the room sitting, Dave. You just called 200 mad English people weak.
Sorry.
Look at them. They're furious. Really quietly furious. Really.
Foaming at the mouth. Oh, that's okay. Get that checked out. Okay. Up the back, how you doing? All right.
Just a little hand, like...
Yeah, one hand. One hand from the darkness. Cute. Oh, so great to be here. Give me a round of applause if you are from Leeds itself or very close by.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was, like, maybe half a second of, am I from Leeds?
All close by. That didn't feel like a huge majority.
Give me a round of applause if you're not from Leeds or close by.
I mean, that's very cool that you've travelled, but we've come 24 hours.
We came for 24 hours.
And we are exhausted.
So where are we from then?
Brighton.
Lots of people from Sheffield. I didn't see it. London. Do you know we're doing two shows there? Whoops. Yeah,
brutal to find out this way. Sucked in, dickhead. I've started drinking early today. Yay.
Now, one thing I always do at the start of the shows, and Matt loves it when I do this.
Well, yeah.
I say that because you had to remind me to do it when we were in Edinburgh a couple of nights ago, which was a very, very fun time. Give me a round of applause if you've ever heard our podcast Do Go On before. Nice.
That is a relief.
Okay. Imagine if you just wandered into this dark room all the way from London. Be amazing. Give me a round of applause, and don't be shy if you've never heard Do Go On ever before. Looks like it's you.
There's a couple, but also the flair with which she claps.
Yeah, it was like this.
Yes, damn it. That's great. That's awesome. Thank you for obviously being a tag along or
thank
just
you
walking into a dark room.
Isn't it it's a weird gap between us and you.
Oh, that was nice.
That felt good.
She was foaming at the mouth earlier. I wouldn't touch her hand.
I'd wash your hands.
Yeah.
Oh. Sure. Is this what you wanted to see? Are we doing it yet? Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
Matt did 10 push-ups backstage before we came out.
I don't know if there was 10.
That was quite impressive.
That was a private conversation, Dave.
Yeah, when you told me you did 10 push-ups, that conversation was private. Okay, well, for the people that haven't heard the show before, basically we do a report on a topic suggested by a listener, and this week it is my turn to do a topic.
Yeah. It's hard not to find that joy hurtful.
Yeah. No.
Give me a round of applause if you don't want it to be Jess or Matt doing the topic. No, don't.
You know what? Us either, to be honest. Yeah.
No, you guys have more fun when you're not recording anyway.
We really do.
Yeah, I don't. It feels like I've got nothing much to do here. I'm thinking about heading back to the green room.
Doing a few more push-ups? His form was excellent, I should say.
Slow, in control. It was... I mean, we do have this space on the stage. Maybe later his arms are a little bit tired now.
Yeah. Obviously very good for a podcast, doing a bit of
quiet
exercise on the floor.
How about we all pretend? Oh, look, he's going. Wow. Oh.
79. 106. All right. I can't count.
I did have several people message me directly asking who was doing the report today, and I can't help but feel they wanted it to be you.
There was a certain subtext to that.
because I won't buy tickets if it's 2 out of 3.
Okay, so my report. We always start with a question to get us onto topic. I'm going to throw it over to Jess and Matt, and if they can't get it, then I'll throw it over to you lovely people.
If we can't get it, we cannot figure it.
All right, question. Which author?
Oh, okay. Okay. I like it. All right.
Okay.
Hey, I'm a man that respects a comma.
I mean, I can see your page now, so.
Which author disappeared in December 1926?
Oh, it's the old lady. You know the one, Poirot man.
She was not an old lady at the time, I can tell you that.
Well, she is now. I assume. If they found her. What's her name? Agatha?
It is Agatha Christie.
We did it. Another one for me.
Yeah. Well done. Jess, did you have any idea that she
disappeared? I read it on your page when you showed me your thing. So I stayed respectfully quiet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did she write these old people books when she was young?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, she had a prolific life.
Well, cannot wait to hear about it.
Any Agatha Christie fans in the crowd today? Yeah. You had no choice.
Mum made you. Right.
Your mum made you watch it. I'm a big, big fan of the Poirot series with David Suchet. I imagine that he is your superstar here.
Any Sush heads in?
Yeah, come on. Is Sush in tonight? That would make my life. David Suchet? Okay, he's not here. All right.
To put it in a context for people who don't know Agatha Christie, she's sort of like England's Shakespeare. Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right.
You've explained that so well. So she's one of the greatest mystery writers of all time, and she created one of the most intriguing real-life mysteries when in 1926 she disappeared. This is her story.
Bum-bum.
Oh, I've got to tell you. I mean, this kind of ruins the thing I'm building there, but this topic has been suggested by a few people. Edward McCann from Dublin. No one?
You're going to do it with everyone? Okay, yep.
Emma from Auckland.
Did Emma make it over? It's probably just as long a journey.
Seba, our most prolific Icelandic listener.
Is Seba here?
I love this one. Chris Williams, who just wrote, "I'm from the UK." Chris?
I really want someone to be in.
There's someone in, look.
What?
Me from Glasgow, who also suggested the Iron Brew topic I did in Scotland 2 nights ago.
Me.
There you go. And Anastasia from Jersey City, New Jersey. Are you in? Okay, fair enough. There you go. So this is the life of Agatha Christie leading up to that mysterious, I was going to say mysterical disappearance. Agatha? Mary Clarissa Miller.
Agatha!
Well, I'm locked into saying that throughout the rest of the hour, aren't I? Agatha Mary Clarissa Miller was born on the 15th of September, 1890. Thank you.
How goes that accent? A good year.
It's so much better than when we have Aussie say it.
Yeah. Like we could talk. Like our... Anyway, yeah.
I was being genuine, Jeff.
No, me too.
You're a mean-spirited person.
She was born in Torquay in Devon in a comfortably well-off middle-class family. Her father, Frederick Miller, was a wealthy New York-born stockbroker. Her mother was the British-born Clara Miller. She was the youngest of three siblings. She was mostly homeschooled by her parents, although her mother had a weird thing where she decided that Agatha shouldn't be allowed to read until she was 8 years old.
Okay. I wonder why 8.
I don't know what happens at 8. You can suddenly...
Have I told this story on the podcast?
You couldn't read till you were 8.
I still can't read. A friend that I knew in school, he got married and had a few kids, and his first... Oh, he won't... Nah, he won't listen.
Is he in tonight?
His first child was called Eleanor. And I was asking if they call her like Ellie or anything. He goes, no. We won't call her Ellie until she's 5. We want her to know her real name.
They've had two more children since. Like, they shouldn't breed. But, because I somehow, I must have been a child genius because I figured out that my name was Jessica. I just figured it out somehow. But your, Eleanor, not
your name's
right.
Jessica?
Yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, Agatha was also a very clever child. She ignored her mother and taught herself to read by the age of five.
Do you think it's because all the books in their house were porn? Not till you're eight. So I think that's a good rule.
No porn good till parent. You're eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
At least.
At least.
At least.
Yeah. Kids these days. Getting into porn too early.
Personal experience?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. Despite this weird rule, Agatha described her childhood as very happy, and she thought herself lucky to have a wise and patient nanny named Marie. She also had a pet dog called George Washington.
Yes. I met a dog the other day called Bill Murray. I just like dogs with full names.
A last name.
Yeah.
Was George Washington any relation to the President of America?
Great-grandchild.
That is fascinating.
Never having a real proper education, and due mainly to boredom, Agatha found herself making up stories and acting out the different parts. There's nothing like boredom to make you write, she would later say. Her father, not well since the advent of financial difficulties, died after a series of heart attacks when Agatha was 11. Oh,
correct. Heartless.
One of you was correct. She describes this as the end of her childhood as the family went through financial strain. David Suchet, your rock star, the actor who played Poirot in the TV series, speculates that that may be the reason that in over half of her novels, money is the motive for murder. Her mother, Clara, was...
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. There's a lot of murder in her murder mysteries. Would you believe it? Her mother was distraught over her husband's death, and Agatha became her mother's closest companion. So fuck you to the other two children. Agatha studied for a time in Paris and was a gifted pianist as a teenager.
What?
No pianist till you're eight. I'm sorry about that. I love this. Agatha Christie's website, her official website, now claims she would have been a professional, but her extreme shyness in front of strangers prevented this from happening. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Oh, I could. I just, I don't like attention. I could have, yeah.
I could have won like 7 Academy Awards if I could act. Just that one little hurdle. Can I believe it?
Is that a quote from David Suchet?
Yeah. Can you believe he's never won an Academy Award?
Yeah. Robbed.
Can you believe it?
Robbed. No.
Yes. Sorry, too genuine.
Too genuine.
Too real.
Her mother Clara's health demanded that they move to a warmer climate, and for 3 months they lived in Cairo, as you do. During her time there, now age 20, she went to lots of parties and wore lots of evening dresses. Again, a quote from Agatha Christie's website. Apparently, she was a bit of a hit, and she met lots of other British expats and knocked back 5 marriage proposals.
Yep. Been there.
How many... What's the marriage proposal count up to now?
8.
Wow.
Yeah, no marriage till you're 8.
I mean, the rule... It's a very versatile rule. It really is.
Next one. Gonna do it.
So she's knocking back marriage proposals left, right and centre. That was until a young hotshot pilot named Archie Christie came into her life in 1912. They met at a dance. Their courtship was a whirlwind affair. Both were desperate to marry but had no money of their own.
Oh, it's good when you're both desperate, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's when romance really flies.
I need this. I need this to work. I mean, I didn't even have to act that. So,
yeah.
That was a direct quote from my own life. So it's this. He was a very attractive man. See a lot of myself in this man. Who her mother didn't want her to marry as she didn't think he'd treat her properly and was worried that he was attractive to women and a bit of a player. Sadly, her mother was very right, as we will later discover.
That's why you should always marry an Uggo.
Mark it down. It's a rule.
You did look right into my eyes as you said that.
You'll be fine, Matt. Nah, good on you.
According to Christie's autobiography, it was, quote, the excitement of the stranger that attracted them both.
The stranger's when you sit on your hand. I feel like you guys know what that... I don't have to elaborate any further.
Come on. I know that all too well. I know that technique. I'm pitying myself as the lonely one today.
I know, but it's, like... when I start to pity you, you've gone too far.
Yeah. I need this! Talking to my own hand.
Nice to meet you.
And then what do you do?
A few push-ups. Get in the zone. Being a pilot, in 1914, Archie went to fight in World War I. He was in the Air Force, and convinced he was going to die, they got married in secret whilst he was on leave. They met infrequently during the war years, and it wasn't until January 1918, when Archie was posted to the War Office in London, that Agatha felt her married life truly began.
Right. Okay. I don't mind the idea of, like... long-distance marriage, you know?
It's like getting married and not seeing them for 4 years.
Perfect.
I mean, you work out if you want to be with them by the end of that, don't you?
Makes the heart grow stronger, fonder, whatever.
Whilst he was away, she volunteered as a nurse at a hospital in Torquay. Often quite gruesome, it really shocked the upper-class young lady. It was during the First World War that Agatha turned to writing her detective stories. She was at least partly inspired by her sister, Madge, who bet her that... I know, it's funny. It's funny.
Madge and Agatha. Beautiful names you have over here.
Madge and Agatha.
Madge
bet Agatha that she couldn't write a good detective story.
Supportive.
I hope Madge felt like a fucking idiot. For the rest of her life, you'd be like,
"Yeah, that
cop that Madge."
Madge, sucked in Madge.
Why didn't Madge dare her to become a piano player, huh? Because she wasn't good enough. That's why. Well, you know the truth. This is all happening whilst Christie was working at the hospital, where she came into contact with Belgian refugees, and this inspired her to create the world's most famous detective, a Mr. Hercule Poirot. Ever heard of him? Fair enough. How about David Suchet? Oh! Oh, Suchet.
He's a rock star here.
He's such a rock star.
I reckon there'd be a few
English
people in here with Suchet tattoos, I reckon.
Any?
Hold on the back. Hold his big face.
We have been talking about getting a tattoo on this tour, and Matt suggested that we do get matching Poirot-themed tattoos.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I remember saying this real well.
Yeah.
What else? Go on. What else?
I'm not adverse to the idea. One of us gets the Suchet mustache. Another one gets Inspector Japp. Hastings. I mean, Jess was really keen on the idea.
I've never seen it.
Oh yeah, and I'm the other guy. What's the other guy? I'll be that guy.
This is Greg. Captain
is it
Hastings?
Greg? Okay, yeah. Gregory Hastings.
Arthur Hastings. Arthur. So close.
Shit, it's too late, but I've already got it. Gregory in bold. So.
Just the word Gregory.
Gregory.
Check out my Poirot tattoo. It says Gregory. I'm still open to the idea. So all this is happening. She's meeting Belgian refugees, and she creates Hercule Poirot during the war. He debuted on her pages in 1916 in a novel that she called The Mysterious Affair at Stiles. It was, as novels often are, rejected several times, but eventually it was published in 1920.
So it took 4 years.
Yeah, it took a bit of
Good time.
Wow.
The book set up many of the tropes she would be famous for. It was set at, again, spoilers if you don't like hearing the tropes. It was set at a wealthy country house with many possible suspects. A murder by poisoning.
Stop looking at his lips.
Yeah, 50% of the murders in her books are by poison. She developed her fascination with poisons during her time at a dispensary during
as
the war.
As a snake. She lived her mid-20s as a snake and...
She got her knowledge of poisons by training as a pharmacy assistant, and that gave her a bit of an inside scoop for the rest of her writing days. So that's the war. Archie came back. This is the hot shot. The Dave Warnocky of the story, if you will. He came home at the...
I will not.
Matt, will you? I need this. He came back at the end of the war and took up a job in London where they had just enough money to rent a flat. Later that year, on the 5th of August, Agatha gave birth to their only daughter, Rosalind.
Rosalind. Better than Madge.
It's a little bit better than Madge. It was also this time that the mysterious affair at Styles with Poirot was taken on by a publisher who also contracted her to write 5 more books. Ooh. So it's all happening now. In 1922, leaving Rosalind with her nurse and her mother, she and Archie travelled across the British Empire promoting the Empire Exhibition of 1924. In Cape Town, South Africa, she became one of the first Europeans to learn to surf standing up. I guess before that it was, do you guys call it boogie boarding here? I heard a definite no.
But also an enthusiastic yeah. So I think she's just being polite.
On one of their many surf beaches over here.
Yeah.
What's the lead surf like?
Strong.
She may have been the first female Briton to achieve the feat of standing up while surfing.
All I'm hearing in my head is na 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 na.
And are you imagining that old woman that we all know Agatha Christie as?
Yeah. That's all I can see right now. And it's great.
I love her. Yeah. So that was the biggest achievement of her life in 1924. In 1925, Christy and her family left London for Sunningdale, where they lived in a house named Styles after her first novel. She also got her first car, and everything was going great. She changed publishing deals and continued to write, and in the novel, The Murder, of Roger Ackroyd, she was the first writer to have the murderer be the narrator of the book.
I feel like things are going a little too well for her.
Hell yeah. She was at the top of her game and always ahead of the curve when it came to the crime genre. Everything was going a little too well.
I just called that.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Money was now coming in. With a young daughter and husband, it all seemed to be going swimmingly for Agatha right here.
Okay.
Or surfingly. Didn't write that, don't worry.
Thank then, God.
In her autobiography, she writes, quote, "The next year in my life is one that I hate recalling. So often in life, when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong."
Is that a threat, Dave?
Yeah. That felt like fun.
Do not let one thing go wrong, because it's all going wrong.
Na, 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 na. I'll just do that anytime you need a sip.
Oh, please, that'd be... would really
just
make...
let me get to the keychain eventually.
It makes drinking beer way more exciting. and more extreme. All right, it's not hard to see why Christy disliked the next year in her life. First of all, her husband Archie, who did turn out to be a massive player, started carrying on with golfer and friend of the family, Nancy Neal. I love this line from agathachristie.com. "Archie was a keen golfer. Agatha, not."
That really makes it seem like it's her fault.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd been into golf.
Yeah. This is the same year that Agatha's mother, Clara, died, and she was devastated by the loss. So there's 2 hits already. Agatha was in charge of clearing out her childhood house where she grew up, and she was doing this one day when Archie turned up and announced that he was having an affair with Nancy Neal and that he wanted a divorce. For Agatha, this was all too much. What a dog. What an absolute dog.
George Washington. Yeah. Sorry, I zoned out for a bit. Are we talking about George Washington again? What a dog.
You thinking about George Washington?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Oh, he's doing little flips.
That's cool.
Da-na-na-na-na-na.
He's surfing.
Wish I'd had a sip. On Friday, December 3rd, 1926, Agatha Christie got up from her armchair and went into her sleeping daughter's room and kissed the now 7-year-old Rosalind goodbye.
Oh, one more year to porn.
Hang in there, Rosalind. We all remember our first porn.
Tell us about yours.
Oh, wanka, 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 wanka. Look, I had a crack there, but...
I mean,
oh, wanka, 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 wanka.
Was yours...
That was me trying to do porn surf music.
Yeah.
Huh? That did translate?
That was great.
Thank you. Waka, waka, waka.
What are you doing with your hand?
Playing, I'm slapping my dick.
That is regret face. You've got the... You've got one of the lowest voices of anyone I know, and even when you play your dick, it sounds like a bass guitar.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. I thought he was travelling with his bass guitar. Turns out those noises we can hear from his room are very different.
Oh, we shared a room that
sorry,
first night.
Sorry.
Oh, I was like, oh, he's just listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers again. Oh, no. No.
When you feel the funk, Dave.
All right, so she kissed Rosalind goodbye. Then she climbed into her Morris Cowley car and drove off into the night. She was reported missing by her family the next morning.
Bit eager, she could have just popped out for milk. Got to wait a certain amount of time, don't you?
How long would you wait?
Wait, who's gone missing? Because it's a different answer for each person.
Agatha Christie.
A week?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen anybody seen Ags? I'd call her Ags.
Call up Madge. Ugh. Anyway, it didn't take police long to locate her car several miles away, abandoned in a remote location called Newlands Corner. There was no evidence of the car having been involved in an accident. Her coat and driver's license were on the back seat, but Christie was nowhere to be seen. Police were immediately worried, and her disappearance would spark one of the largest manhunts ever mounted. Agatha Christie was already a famous writer at this time, and more than 1,000 policemen were assigned to the case, along with hundreds of civilians.
1,000 policemen.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
I mean, it would have been a great time. Surely. Great time to commit a crime.
Is that all the cops?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, all the cops. 300 men with dogs also searched for her.
Yeah, okay, great.
And it was the first search...
If it was 301, we'd have to shoot one of the dogs.
Oh.
I'm sorry, 300. That's great. It. Proceed.
Don't worry, it was 300 exactly. That's because they shot a couple of the dogs. Sorry. It was also the first search to use aeroplanes.
Oh, how?
Two aeroplanes.
No, I didn't say how many. I said, how did they use them?
Looking out the window.
Oh, yeah.
She's not down there. Oh, that could be her. Oh, that's an ant. Oh, we're not even off the ground yet. I haven't been in a plane before. Look at that.
That guy's about to lose his shit when that plane takes off.
Oh, where'd that ant go?
Now we got two missing people.
Some people claim that 15,000 people came out to look for her. No matter how many, it was a massive search. Police were worried that she may have fallen down one of the many gravel pits in the area and that she may have been lying at the bottom of one of them, hurt and helpless. Police also expressed concern that she'd been the victim of serious crime.
Tax fraud.
It's serious, Jess.
I know.
It was front page news across the UK, and when she didn't turn up for over a week...
Aha, thank you.
It was front page news all over the world, including the New York Times.
It's 2 hours for you.
Oh, thanks, you.
Thanks, you.
Do I understand what... Wait, what's the context of that? Just so you...
If you were missing...
Oh, great. Oh, that's great. Yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah. 6 months.
David Suchet, about 1 minute. Look, I've actually also got an app open here that tracks his movements. He's at Harrods right now, doing quite well for himself. Anyway, it's news all over the world.
Dave, if you're tracking him on your device, how is he going missing?
Oh, that's how he avoids. If he disappears off this for 1 minute, I will have to leave. I'm sorry.
Does he know about the tracking?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's safer for him if he doesn't know.
Have you used the tracking to meet him in person, or are you doing it to avoid meeting him?
No, I've never met him.
Sure.
Well, I've seen him, but he hasn't seen me.
How did you put the... Where is the tracker? Well, in his moustache?
Yeah.
It's in his butt, isn't it?
One of you is correct. And he doesn't have a real moustache.
Does he have a real butt?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Is that too
Does he have
yeah.
a butt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Anyway, it seemed to be as good a mystery as she could ever write, except that it was happening in real life. Every day, the stories of what could have happened to her got crazier and crazier, with the press speculating wildly. Apparently, close to where the car was found was a natural spring known as the Silent Pool, where two young children were reputed to have died. Some journalists ventured to suggest that the novelist may have deliberately drowned herself there. Newspapers offered a large £100 reward for anyone that spotted her, and this inspired more people to go on the hunt. So everyone's looking for Ag. With the book selling well and the fact that she was a household name by this point, outwardly it looked like she was on top of the world. If she had chosen to disappear, people couldn't work out why. There were rumours that she'd been murdered by her husband, Archie, who some people now talking to the press were saying was a serial cheater, and he was known to have the mistress, Nancy Neal, the golf player. The UK's Home Secretary, William Joynson.
One more time.
William Joynson Hicks. I can only assume he's from New Jersey. I can only assume that.
Joynson.
It's Johnson with a Y.
Love it.
Joynson. Am I saying that right?
You're reading it like you've never read it before, but you wrote this.
William Joynson. Okay. So he's a big deal. He's a home secretary in the UK. He's freaking out because no one can find it. It's looking bad for him. So he urged the police to make faster progress in finding her, as it did not look good for the police, her being missing for so long. History Extra recalls that two of Britain's most famous crime writers, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Sherlock Holmes, and Dorothy L. Sayers, author of the Lord Peter Wimsey series, were both drawn into the search as experts. Their specialist knowledge, it was hoped, would find the missing writer.
They're experts in writing.
I know.
Have you tried looking for her in a library? Or a cafe with Wi-Fi? He tips his hat and leaves. What a hero. You've spaced out again, haven't you?
No.
Now, so Arthur Conan Doyle's been employed. And if you've heard my report on Sherlock Holmes, you'll remember that one of Arthur Conan Doyle's specialist skills was cult stuff concerning the afterlife. After his son died in the war, he went a little bit strange and believed in fairies as well as many other supernatural things.
He went a little bit strange.
I'm being polite.
I'm going to put that on my tombstone. She went a little bit strange.
Could you say it in a way that's less polite? What are you trying to say?
He lost it big time. Basically, he tried to use paranormal powers to solve the mystery of where Agatha Christie was.
Okay. Well, I didn't see anybody else coming up with any ideas, so...
He took one of Christie's gloves to a famous medium, hoping that it would give answers where no normal police work had failed. It didn't. So, any theories at this point from you guys?
Mole people.
Interesting. Interesting.
Obviously.
Matt, any theories as to...
Yeah, I reckon she's just looking for inspiration for a book, right? She's
just needs a getaway.
Yeah. But she's also like... I reckon she's just... Yeah, she, did she end up turning this into a night boat to Cairo or some sort of big story?
Night boat to Cairo?
That's one of hers, isn't it?
Or night is that boat.
I know.
What's a night boat?
No, I think it's a madness song. Sorry. What's that? She's got a Cairo boat as well. Anyway, doesn't
death, death on death the Nile. Nile.
Death boat to Cairo.
Listen up. Well, on December the 14th, 1926, she turned up.
How long has she been missing?
She's been away for a couple of weeks.
Okay, it was just a nice getaway.
She was alive.
Did we let people know we were leaving Australia? Yeah, we got some calls to make. Just don't mind Matt for a minute. Can you message my mum in there as well?
Yes.
She was alive and well at the Swan Hydro, now the Old Swan Hotel in Harrogate, or Harrogate, just 16 miles from where we are right now.
A few Harry heads in. Huh? There's a Harrogate in the front
really?
Row.
Have you been to the Old Swan Hotel?
Brother got married there, Dave. He's basically David Suquet or whatever.
Did you know the connection when you went there? So I imagine none of this is impressing you so far.
Nah, yeah.
Right, okay, he's pretty honest, this guy.
We love that.
So it is just 16 miles or 25 kilometres from where we are right now.
Thank you for converting
which
that
is
for
why,
me.
Yeah, thank you. Which is why I chose this as a topic, because we're so close and we can go to that hotel.
No, absolutely not.
Right, well, 16 miles, I'm walking after this. So she's turned up, but more questions were raised, however, as Christie herself was unable to provide any clues as to what had happened to her. She apparently remembered nothing.
Okay.
Police seemed to come to the conclusion that Agatha Christie had left home and travelled to London, crashing and then abandoning her car en route. So she's driving to London but crashed on the way. She then somehow, still a mystery, travelled the 30 miles to King's Cross Station in London, where she boarded a train to Harrogate. On arriving at the spa town, she checked into the Swan Hydro on December the 4th with almost no luggage. One of the strangest things is that she checked in under the assumed name of Teresa Neal, which is the surname of her husband's mistress.
I mean, that would be the name that would be on your mind a lot, probably.
Yeah, and she also claimed that she was from South Africa.
Did she do an accent? Because that's not okay.
And if she did, I think it would sound a little something like this.
Hello, I'm Theresa May. No, Theresa May, that's a different one. Hello. Hello. Fuck. Did you guys know the truth about your Prime Minister? Ask for a birth certificate, that's all I'm saying. I'm a truther. Teresa Truther.
I don't know what Harrogate's like these days, but apparently it was the height of elegance in the 1920s. Is it still like that? People are laughing. It was quite the place to be for young wealthy types, and Agatha did nothing to arouse suspicion as she joined in with all the balls, dances, and the entertainment. You got to hide in plain sight at the ball. She wasn't recognised, which might seem strange because she's such a famous person.
Yeah, but she was doing the accent.
Yeah, which sounded a little something like this.
How's it? I'm Teresa Neal.
Not bad.
I like the ball.
That's good stuff. Matt, what would it sound like if she was
Borat
like...
Borat was there too. Yeah. I like the ball.
What would it sound like if she had some sort of, diplomatic immunity?
Oh, yeah, that would have been the one to go for. Ha.
What? All right, stop laughing. Ha, 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 ha.
Ha. I have diplomatic immunity. My name is Teresa, whatever you said before.
And it's weird that she was carrying guns with her to this ball as well. But, I mean, yeah, that would have sounded a bit like...
Whoa, it's so realistic.
No, that was just me clearing my...
Oh, wow.
That was the gun. Oh.
He is good.
The man of a thousand noises.
The first time is clapping. Yeah. That must be fucking bizarre to you. I don't even get it. You love balls. That is very funny and deserve more, to be honest, but... I just love balls. Fucking hell. That's good. Did we get that? We get that on tape?
Two thumbs up. Thank
Two
you.
Thumbs up. Excellent.
Thanks, Dave. So it's weird that she might not be recognised, but she was being a writer. She was a household name, but people didn't necessarily know what she looked like.
Sure.
So you could blend in a little bit. Eventually, she was recognised by one
Much
of the...
Much like being a podcaster.
Yeah.
Hide in plain sight, you know? Except I walk around going, "Hello, I'm Jess Perkins!" And they go, "Please stop yelling at me, madam.
I'm a podcaster!"
And people say, "What does that mean?"
Yeah, mostly my grandma.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't get it. I don't get it.
My parents tried to explain to my 94-year-old grandma what we were doing here. It's like, it's a podcast. And she's like, what? It's a bit like a radio show. She's like, oh, okay. And people can listen at home. She's like, oh, okay. Why are they turning up to see it live?
A very Thanks. Good question.
Thanks, Grandma. Thanks a lot, Grandma. 94 years old. Eventually, Agatha was recognised by one of the hotel's banjo players, Bob Tappan.
The banjo. Which one's that again? What does a banjo sound like?
I think it might sound a little something like this. No, actually, because there's multiple banjos, I think it would be good if we could hear dueling banjos.
Yeah.
Oh, all from me. Yeah.
Was that it?
Ba-da-ding, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yes.
Ba-da-dang, dang, 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 dang. Ba-da-dang, dang, 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 dang. Oh. I lost control of that light.
Fantastic.
Their patience for that bit is running out, if you want to just...
Yeah, I'll pump the brakes on it now, sorry. Will I?
So the banjo player recognised her. He tipped off her husband. Oh, he told police, and they tipped off her husband, Colonel Christie, who came to collect Agatha immediately. Respectively, Bob, the banjo player, didn't go to the press and claim the £100 reward, which would have created a media storm.
Bob, the banjo player.
Yes.
Can he pluck it?
But should he?
Look, I'm... Every now and then I'll say something and you guys will sigh, and that's okay. He's had another go, hasn't he?
So we didn't sell her out to the press, but the press got wind of the story anyway, and the media rush arrived to get photos of her leaving the hotel, and this hit the front pages again around the world. Amazingly, Christy left her cheating husband waiting in a badass move. When the cheater arrived, she kept him waiting in the hotel lounge while she decided to change into an evening dress.
Yes.
Badass. So there's some theories. Over the years, there's been a lot of theories as to what caused and exactly happened during this 11-day disappearance. Archie claimed that his wife was suffering from amnesia and had no recollection of the events. Some speculated that she did it to publicise her books and boost some sales.
Well, any publicity is good publicity, I guess.
And because of this, many were furious at the funds and resources that were wasted on the search in their eyes. Another theory was that perhaps she did it for revenge against her cheating husband. Perhaps she disappeared hoping that eventually he would be arrested for her murder. And even when she reappeared, perhaps this would be sufficiently enough to tarnish his image in the long run. And in her book, she's a criminal mastermind, so why wouldn't she be one in real life? Others have speculated that she suffered a concussion-like brain injury in the car crash and then had no idea what she was doing. But probably the most common theory, other than the publicity stunt, is that her disappearance was the side effect of some sort of mental breakdown. According to her biographer, Andrew Norman, the novelist may well have been in what is known as a fugue state, or more technically, a psychogenic trance. It's a rare condition brought on by trauma or depression, and in this case, the death of her mother and the breakdown of her marriage may have caused her to not realise what she was doing during that period.
Right.
Norman says the adoption of her new personality, Teresa Neal, and her failure to recognise herself in the newspapers were signs that she had fallen into psychogenic amnesia. There's also speculation that it was an aborted suicide attempt. In 1934, Christie wrote Unfinished Portrait, a semi-autobiographical novel under her pen name Mary Westmacott. In this book, a character called...
You can pick any name!
I know. In this book, a character called Celia attempts suicide, and Christie writes, it was wicked of her to even consider taking her own life. And a lot of people have said that's her writing about this incident. But throughout the rest of her life, Agatha herself never publicly discussed the disappearance and apparently never spoke of this time with her family or friends.
Okay. All right.
She also barely mentioned the incident in her autobiography. Despite it being one of the most famous weeks of her life, she just wrote down how she hated notoriety of any kind and that the press was so unbearable she found it hard to go on living at that time. And that is the only mention of this incident in her autobiography.
So what? She gets back in the car and they're driving her home. They're like, what happened? She's like,
yeah.
We're not talking about it. Where have you been?
Oh.
I don't know. It's like a angsty teenager.
I don't talk about it.
That was me as a teenager.
And an adult.
Yeah.
But you'll be pleased to hear, guys, that she bounced back. She made a quick recovery, both health and career-wise, and continued on writing. Agatha and Archie remained apart, and finally, accepting her marriage was over in 1928, they divorced. And Archie married his mistress. There you go. One of Agatha's lifelong ambitions had been to travel on the Orient Express.
Okay, the night boat to Cairo.
Night boat train.
The night boat train to Georgia. Anyway.
And she took her first journey in 1928 after her marriage broke down. It was at an archaeological site in Ur in Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq, that she met the 25-year-old archaeologist in training, Max Mellerman, who was to become her second husband.
How old is she at this point?
She's about 36, 37.
Cool.
She's made him up. Max Mellerman.
Well, you got a new man in your life. Yeah, what's his name? Max. Yeah, Max.
Max was asked to show Agatha around the archaeological sites, which he found fascinating, and they found each other's company relaxing. They married in 1930, and by this time she had already written a dozen books. Her second world-famous character, Miss Marple, also debuted in that year in a novel called Murder at the Vicarage.
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 Oh, it's a fun word.
It is nice.
With the ability...
Everyone, vicarage.
That's very... Yeah.
They just say it nice, like normal people. Vicarage. That's them.
That's what you sound like to us.
Oh, vicarage.
Well, how do we say it?
Ah, vicarage.
We really are the worst.
Yeah, we're the worst.
We suck.
With the ability to see the worst in everyone, she based her... This is Agatha Christie basing Miss Marple on her own grandmother.
Her ability to see the worst in everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Cop that grand.
That's not a trait you want. Look at this lovely waiter. Probably a pedophile. Agatha!
You know who doesn't see the worst in everyone? Mr. David Suchet. What a kind soul. Where is he? Checking in? Oh, he's just doing a bit more shopping. Now he's on Oxford Street in London. Primark, a bit below his taste, I thought. All right. Takes all sorts.
How many times did you go to Primark in the 2 days we were in London?
See this shirt? It's a Primark!
He was like, we'd be kind of near it. He was like, oh, we're near Primark. It's like, off you go.
I mean, Primark and that, what's that, Pata Monge or something? He loved that joint.
He loves bread.
I love Pata Monge. Do you guys have that in Leeds, Pata Monge?
Greg's is better.
Your Greg head's in. Greg, you'd love my Gregory tattoo. Greg's is better.
Greg's is better. We went to a Greg's in Edinburgh. Big fan of Greg's. Yeah. I mean, there is definitely one person leading that. Are
What's
you related
going
to Greg?
On?
I love Greg.
Yeah.
And the people are with you. That's the best. All right, list other things you like.
So Greg's is genuinely popular. All right. No lovers of Pret then. Pret is for losers. Well, I guess you can call me a loser, baby. Because I love Pret. I also love Greg's.
Wow.
I did not want to lose the crowd over Pret.
It's not worth it.
That would not be worth it.
That was the best.
Greg's had a great fruit salad. Have you had a Greg's fruit salad?
Yes, that's wrong.
I fucked up. Cheese, beans, and sausage melt.
Yeah, you guys really know how to do food.
Do you guys want me to bring up the Greg's menu and we'll just go through it?
Give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
It's all thumbs up.
Who goes to
Greg's for a salad? A man that's struggling to shit, okay? Okay. There you go. Thank you. Jess has left.
So we've lost Jess.
Sorry that had to get so real, mate. Did it help?
I'm sharing a bathroom with him.
Did it help? The answer is there anything Greg can't fix? Go,
Matt,
Greg.
Can I use your bathroom later?
Nothing makes me shit more than Greg's. Greg's!
All right, we're nearly here for the end of Agatha's report. So she marries Max, and he's an archaeologist. And he became a big influence on her writing. The exotic locations that she visited with him, like Egypt, Mesopotamia, and then stuff like the Orient Express, became locations in her books, and this really set her apart from her contemporaries yet again.
She mentioned other places.
Everything else was set at Greg's or something else. As a rule, Agatha wrote 2 or 3 books a year. And when with Max, often wrote a chapter or two during quiet mornings and then helped him out on the archaeological digs in the afternoon.
Oh, teamwork. So, love that.
Yeah, the real power couple.
Power couple. Love it. Yes. Support each other.
Similar to, they're kind of like England's very own Posh and Bex. I was trying to think of a more, what's that, you know, the woman and the guy from recently? I was going for them and then I ended up.
The woman and the guy?
You meant Harry and Meghan.
Harry and Meghan. Thank you. The man and the woman.
I mean, you're not wrong, technically.
But you're quite far from right.
One's from Suits and one's from the Palace. It's star-crossed lovers. Did that make the news here? It was big down in Australia.
Did you guys get that here? You got that?
So World War II broke out and Agatha again volunteered. It was during this World War II that she became a grandmother when her daughter Rosalind gave birth to her son, a son, Matthew. By 1950, after the war...
Beautiful name. Oh. Love those English names. Madge. Matt. Oh, no. We're not so different, you and I, Madge.
Did you only just figure out that your name is Matthew? Okay.
I wasn't allowed to know that until I was 102.
By 1950, Agatha had already sold 50 million books and started to slow down her output. I say slow down, but her play The Mousetrap opened in the West End in 1952 and has been running ever since, becoming easily the longest-running play of all time with over 26,000 performances now.
Yeah, it hasn't finished yet. They haven't found the killer.
It's also a great board game.
Mousetrap?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. That's why I said it.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should finish this combo later.
Yeah, right.
According to the official Mousetrap website, during its 66-year run...
The game or the...
They share a website. Could you believe that? It's very confusing. Now, during its 66-year run, the play, there have been no fewer than 474 actors and actresses appearing in the play, 279 understudies, and 142 miles of shirt that has been ironed for the play.
How many big silver balls? That was a little niche bit there, but the ones who liked it really liked it.
Clap him.
My favourite kind of applause is a smattering, so thank you so much. Nothing better, because the thing I love about a smattering is it takes as much effort for the people not to clap as it does for those to clap.
They're just ignoring it.
Nah.
Silver balls, all right. It's good stuff, you'll get it later.
Yeah, it's a thinker.
Agatha's love...
Okay, bye, Matt.
Agatha's last public appearance was at the opening night of the 1974 film version of Moira. On the Orient Express, starring Albert Finney as Hercule Poirot. Her verdict, a good adaptation with the minor point that Poirot's moustaches weren't luxurious enough. You know whose moustaches are luxurious enough? David Suchet nailed it. Oh, my goodness. Down, he's got an egg-shaped head, exactly like she described. What perfect casting. Just let you think about that. The final novel published in her lifetime had, in fact, been written many decades earlier. It was called Curtain, Poirot's Last Case. Christie wrote the novel in the early 1940s during the Second World War. Partly fearing for her own survival and partly wanting to have a fitting end for Poirot's series of novels, Christie had the novel locked away in a bank vault for over 30 years. Knowing that she could no longer write any novels, the elderly Christie authorised Curtin's removal from the vault and subsequently its publication in 1975.
Can you imagine her rereading it, though, after 30 years?
You've forgotten it a little bit?
No, she would have forgotten it and also been like, this is trash. If I looked at something I wrote 30 years ago, it wouldn't exist. All right, Matt, if you looked at something you'd written 30 years ago...
It would have been, oh, I've had another great-grandchild. I reckon if I put it in a vault and got it out and went, really? Curtain?
Are you talking
a mystery about
something you'd written
curtains? What happened? Like, curtains were taken? Sounds stupid.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Well, I can tell you, it sees the old duo of Poirot and Hastings team up for the last time, meeting again at Stiles, where they'd first appeared together 50 years earlier in their first novel. She wrote the novel at the height of her powers and for decades knew how the series would end.
Her powers.
Oh, she was a witch.
Oh. At the height of her powers.
It's a very evil novel.
Got it.
She died peacefully the next year on the 12th of January 1976 at the age of 85. She is buried in the churchyard of St. Mary's near Wallingford. And finally, just a bit about her legacy. According to the Guinness World Records, she's the world's best-selling fiction writer, with her 78 crime novels having sold an estimated 78. Two more.
Write two more. Or stop three ago.
Well, they have sold an estimated 2 billion copies in 44 languages.
Dave, can I just quickly do my impersonation of the character from Poirot called... What's the psychic's Gregory's name again?
Captain Hastings.
Does anyone know that show with David Suckett? I've been working on this because I've been... Dave, I watched the first season. I really like it. I love this. I love Gregory heaps. And I'm not fucking around. I reckon this is exactly what he sounds like, right? What's his surname again?
Hastings.
Hastings, right. I say.
That is great. If you knew the source, that is great.
I say.
Nailed it?
I clap again. You didn't deserve it the first time.
Whoa. Let them clap.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Let them clap.
You're right. Let clappers be.
Little smattering there. I got two smatterings back to back. I say. And I love Greg's.
Yeah. My final sentence is, her books continue to sell well and her royalties are estimated to be in the millions every year, so good on her one grandchild, Matthew. She is outsold only by the Bible and William Shakespeare. What a life for Agatha Christie! Thank you so much! Let's all do it. Thank you.
That was the best.
I sculled at least 1/8 of a drink. Whoa.
For your tiny throat.
Yeah, my tiny gullet,
good.
That is impressive.
That's very good.
But that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I say.
Good
Lord. My grandma, the 94-year-old, actually says that.
Good
Lord. She surprised me by something. My parents told her they were going to Russia for a holiday, and her response was, good Lord. It's still the 1940s for her. I'm like, I'm going to Cuba. Good Lord. The UK, she was fine with that. She was totally fine with that.
Oh.
She said, say hi to Winston.
Her old school chum.
Good Lord. Guys, give it up for Dave. Wanted to give his report.
Thank you.
Well done.
That was a bit of fun. Thank you so much for coming out. It does blow our minds that we could come to Leeds, a place that I have never been to before, none of us have ever been to before, and that you all turn up. So thank you so much. Give yourselves a big round of applause.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon.
Even the venue were like, oh, what is this? And is it going to sell tickets? And it did, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's very nice of you.
And having said that, we'd like to thank you to The Wardrobe, fantastic venue.
Amazing.
We've got Dave on sound. Trey, the manager, helped us with everything. Fantastic. It's been an absolute delight to be here. So I guess the plan is now we're going to wrap up. If you would like to hang out for a bit, we've got some T-shirts that we'll be selling over there in the corner. If you just want to come up, say hello or get a photo or anything, please do stick around. It's going to be a bit of fun.
Yep.
That brings us to the end of the episode. Matt, Jess, you have anything else you need to say?
No. Apart from long live Greg's and... God bless you all, and be nice to each other, and good on that man and woman. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
And we're back at the famous glass table with my famous legs.
Wow. What an emotional roller coaster that report was.
That
we
really
laughed,
was.
We cried, we learned.
About Greg's.
Oh.
So much
passion for Greg's
here.
I love that passion.
I don't think Australians or Melburnians would be that passionate about anything.
Yeah, like
football. Never mind.
Baker's Delight versus
Brumbies.
Brumbies.
Yeah. And at the little shopping village near my parents' house where I grew up had both.
Ooh.
But I would go to the Baker's Delight because it was closer.
Owned by the same company, I believe.
Are they?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, they make you think like you're picking one over the other, but really, that's just one person getting rich. Mr. Brumby.
Yeah, Big Baker's.
Big Baker Brumby.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
He is a delight, I guess.
And yes, thanks again to everyone that did come to our lead show. It was a very, very fun time. And at the end of every episode, what we like to do, of course, Matthew, is thank you. Thank you.
Thank me. Oh, well, no worries.
You do a great job.
It's all part of the deal.
But also thank some of our Patreon supporters
who
keep this little show rocking and or rolling.
And they keep these three little podcasters fed.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're going to go out for some food after this.
I'm
so
excited. I'm very hungry.
Yeah. Second meal of the day.
Yeah, we've got to start eating better.
It's getting late at night.
Yeah.
Two meals a day isn't... That's not the right... What is it again?
It should be three.
Nine.
Nine meals a day.
Nine small portions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was a fun sound.
That's the boner alarm. Dave just got hard.
Well,
oh,
it's
boy.
7:50 p.m. Why so surprised?
Boner o'clock. we need to thank some people who support the show and keep us fed.
Yes, and I believe, do we also have a fact, quote, or question, Matt?
Yes, of course we do.
Everyone's favourite segment on the Do Go On podcast.
And let's just pad now while Matt finds that section.
Glad
of
it's in a very similar place in my computer. This week's fact, quote, or question is from a first time fact, quote, or questioner, Jacoby D'Angel. Jess, could you have a crack at that?
No, you nailed it.
That's what you would say?
Yeah.
Give us an alternative just in case.
Jacoby Dangle.
I reckon I'm going to go with Jess on this one.
Okay. It's a Jacoby.
Jacoby Dangle.
Ooh.
And Jacoby, with the fact, quote, or question, a patron each week gets to give us a fact, quote, or question. They also get to give themselves a title. And this week, I'll just read out the full message from Jacoby.
Yep.
Great maker of power drills.
Jacoby.
And this is the message. It includes the question and his title. Hello, Matt, Jess, and Dave. I've decided to take the title of writer, director, cinematographer, editor, producer, executive producer, and best boy of the Do Go On movie.
Wow, it's a lot of titles.
It will have action, drama, sex, comedy, crime, mystery, and Nazis, of course.
Shotgun, me getting the sex part.
Oh, okay.
Sucked in, boys.
Well, you got to ride it in to get it, don't you?
My question to you is, which actors would you like to play the three leading roles?
Oh, have we been asked this something, or have we just discussed this amongst ourselves recently?
It was on a Patreon bonus episode.
I think Kobe Smulders for me.
You're a Kobe Smulders?
Yep.
And that is the actor from Who's Your Dad? No, Where's Your Mum?
Yeah, Where's Your Mum?
Where's Your Mum?
That long-running sitcom. Where's Your Mum?
Where's Your Mum?
Which one's your mum?
Which one's your mum? With Kobe Smulders.
Who's your mummy?
Yeah. Who's your mummy?
I don't even know what show you're referring to.
How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, Who's Your Mummy? It sounds like the Danish translation or something.
Yeah, Who's Your Mummy?
Who is your mummy?
All right. Well, obviously, Dave, you'd be played by Steve Buscemi's son.
Yes.
If he has one.
Steve Buscemi Jr.
Yeah. Mm. Junior Boosh. And me, who would I have? I mean, at what age? I mean, I'd love to have probably...
Here we go.
Who we got here? David Wenham, Australian actor.
Yep.
Fisherman Fred from Ship to Shore. None of that's right. Sea Change he was in as Diver Dan.
Diver Dan.
But he's older than me, so I don't know if that works.
No, but he played future you.
He played future
you. It's going to be a long time before a movie's made of us, to be honest.
Okay, great.
So by that time, you'll be dead, but then he'll be younger somehow.
And then super future me, I'll have Rod Quantock.
I knew Rod Quantock, of course.
Well, I've Googled Steve Buscemi's son. He actually is an actor, Lucien Buscemi.
Yes,
That's a great name.
This is what we're.
Oh my god!
That works.
He looks so much like his dad.
He looks more like you than his dad does.
Yeah. Dave, that's weird.
He's got these sexy, with a lot of makeup sexy cheekbones. Yeah. I don't have that.
He's got a lot of makeup and he's really pouting his
cheekbones. Babe, we can contour that on you, no problem.
Really? Yes. I like that a lot.
Really? And no, we're not done with me yet.
Of course we're not.
Who's current me and baby me? Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter movies.
Well, Ron Weasley's a fictional character. Do you mean Rupert Grint?
Yes, Rupert Grint. He can play current me, younger me?
Yeah, come on, mate.
How old would he be?
He's a year older than Dave and I.
Oh, just a baby.
Yeah.
And then obviously child me would be Prince Harry's soon to be born daughter or son.
Yeah. Versatile actor.
Are they having a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'll be me, baby. So baby, we can do the whole life. All right, toddler.
Okay, this is exhausting.
Maybe a wombat.
All right.
And then
dyed red.
Dyed red, yep.
I think we've answered the question.
But I don't, what about young adult?
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, who would play young adult you?
Do you know any redheads in that age frame?
I mean, don't typecast yourself.
What was that guy?
And also, you can dye hair.
What about that guy who used to sing with red hair?
That used to sing with red hair?
David Bowie?
Yes. Bowie, we'll get him to play me deceased. Rest in peace. Okay, Dave, and you're going to be...
Lucien Buscemi.
Lucien Buscemi.
Oh, I love it. It's a great, fantastic name.
Fantastic name.
Fantastic.
That is a fantastic name.
Maybe Rachel McAdams. I like her.
For Matt as a teenager.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
She is fantastic.
Could I get so Kate Blanchett as teenage me?
Yes, she could do it. I reckon she can do just about anything. Have you seen Ocean's 8? She's a masterpiece.
She's a masterpiece. Oil painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he ask me?
I don't know anymore.
Well, we're looking forward to Jacoby making that film.
And if someone could draw a poster of that, that... Obviously, there'd be a lot of my heads in there. Just pick your favourite head. Diver Dan. Look him up. What a legend. All right. And I think he was also in The Matrix as well, that man. David Wenham. And maybe The Lord of the Rings?
Please stop.
Okay.
We also like to thank by name people that do contribute to our Patreon. We're going to do that now. And usually, what we do... Jess comes up with a little game.
We make a little bit of a game.
Just a bit of fun.
A bit of a game in there.
Now, we're going to have this game in it. So, we just heard there about Agatha Christie, very famous mystery writer. Any inspiration from that, Jess?
Yeah, let's give him a fucking crime name.
Crime name.
No, like a case.
Like Events on the Nile or Night Boat to Cairo.
Death on the River Nile. Is that what it's actually called?
It's called Death on the Nile.
Fuck, I thought it was on the River Nile. No, You've always said river.
It's a different Nile.
I'm sure you've always said river.
They're talking about...
I would have never said river.
No, you haven't.
The singular brother of Fraser.
Death on the Nile. Yeah, so we'll give them a case name like that.
So there's I've got a couple here. Actually, I've got on my computer. The Adventure of Johnny Waverley.
Oh.
Murder in the Mews.
Oh.
The Third Floor Flat.
Oh, I like that.
The Labours of Hercules.
Okay.
The King of Clubs.
Dave, don't waste all these great titles.
Peril at End House.
Oh, I like that. I like Peril.
She's just saying, that sounds like a random word generator.
Yeah.
The Third Floor Apartment.
Which means there's no wrong answer.
The Adventure of the Cheap Flat.
The Adventure of the Cheap... Where did the flat go on its adventure?
The Kidnapped Prime Minister.
Okay.
Could I kick this bad boy off?
Please.
I'd love to thank, from Seaford, which is where I got my tattoo done many years
ago. Why'd you go to Seaford?
Because there was a recommended artist down there at Hellbound Tattoos.
Okay. And you still haven't got it finished.
No, I haven't. And that was really quite a long time ago.
At this point, they'd be starting again.
Yeah, really, they would have to. I'd love to thank Mr. Luke Hunter.
Luke Hunter. Oh, can we do something with Hunter, maybe?
Oh, the Hunter. What about the Hunter-Gatherer?
Oh, yes, I like that.
It sounds like an Agatha Christie thing, because it sounds like interesting, but also, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What about the Hunter-Gatherer from down the road?
Yeah, perfect. I need to know where
We need to know what flat they're living
in. Yeah. The hunter-gatherer from 32B.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Hunter-gatherer from 32B. That is Luke Hunter down to a T.
Yeah. Oh.
And he lives near the sea.
And he... And what role does he play? The cadaver? Or the killer?
Or at least...
You'd have to watch to find out.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
at least a suspect.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a suspect when Agatha Christie comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it'll be a Poirot? Or
it's got to be a Poirot.
Not a Maple.
She's a very untrusting person.
Yes. Or Miss Marple. Remember I said in the report, an untrusting person based on her grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Always sees the worst in people.
What a skill to have. What a skill to have.
I'd also love to thank from America, from Newton, Julie Bay.
Julie Bay. Love that.
Julie Bay.
Bay is a great name too. Especially in today's climate, you know.
What about Murder by the Bay, but it's spelled B-E-Y?
Yeah.
Because that's
her name. Yes.
I'm afraid.
Dave, you're so good at this.
She may have been murdered in this one. Well, sorry.
Well, no, again.
No, next, someone was murdered next to her.
Oh,
by
yeah.
By the Bay.
She's got assault. Maybe she's got to prove her innocence. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
So someone's on trial. Hercule Poirot comes to town and has to prove the innocence.
Yeah, that's good. That is very good.
We've spent a lot of time together while we're here.
Yeah.
Barely left each other's sides.
Yeah.
We're becoming one unit.
We already were, but now it's even more so.
No.
It's going to be hard to be away from you.
No. I'm going to have to call you when I get home.
Let's move in together.
Okay. Yes. It's time.
Let's move back
to get
in
the
together.
Do-go-on mansion.
Mansion. Yeah.
Which would be a great place for a murder.
Let's and get the bunks back together.
Only possible because of our Patreons.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Pay for our mansion.
Yeah, come on. We deserve mansions.
Mansion.
Plural.
Oh.
What?
I mean, what if one is haunted?
Oh, good point.
That'd be great if we get a haunted one. No. We do a report about our own house.
I don't want a haunted one. I want a nice one.
What if it's haunted by a gummy bear?
Ooh.
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm not drinking.
Unbelievable as that is from the tone. I'd also like to thank from Livermore, California.
Hotel California.
I was thinking California.
Yeah, great.
And I would like to thank Anthony Castro. And what do we call the book? Liver No More.
You are nailing this.
Anthony Castro's
Liver No More.
And it's set in the small town, I imagine, of Livermore.
Right.
Right.
But also the person who died was drunk.
What about?
Oh, okay. So their liver was...
Their liver was no more.
Liver La Vida No More.
Okay.
Ricky Martin has a cameo.
Is this like our Spanish translation?
Yeah. I'm not going to budge on this.
That's my standpoint, and I'm sticking to it.
And thank you, Anthony Castro. I hope you solve that crime.
What a sick bunch of names about Luke Hunter, Julie Bay, Anthony Castro.
I know, they do sound like characters in books.
Mm.
I would also like to thank, from Sydney, beautiful part of the world, of course, Lockie Martin.
Lockie Martin. Under lock and key.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Oh, I finally got one.
That is mysterious.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can also see, when you read the book, you go, oh, I know what they're talking about. I get
it. Yeah.
Lockie Martin's the main character in this.
Yeah.
Again, Lockie has been falsely accused of a crime and Poirot has to again save the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lockie definitely hasn't done anything here, but people think he has.
Yeah, so he's under lock and key in the jail cell.
They think he did it until another murder occurs when he's
locked up. And they're like, well, maybe it can't have been him.
Is it a copycat?
Yeah.
And it turns out it is. Lockie did do the kill.
He did the first one.
Yep.
He paid someone to do another one to make
but
him
look innocent. But the copycat actually gets busted for both.
Yeah.
Lockie's that good.
He is that
And then
good.
He's released and he's still out there.
Yeah.
Hang on.
No, right. Dave, we're in the UK. It's okay.
Oh, it's fine then. No worries.
We're
good on
safe.
Lockie.
But anybody in Sydney, not so safe. Lockie's coming to kill you. Sorry you had to find out this way.
Well, good luck to all our Sydney listeners. Sorry
I hope you're
that.
Listening when this episode is current and not in 3 months' time when Lockie's already outside your
this
window.
This is all obviously a joke. Lockie is one of the nicest people, I assume.
He's one of the nicest murderers, yes.
No, he gives life
and stabs.
And laughs.
While he stabs you.
With his...
Wit.
Wit, yes. Stabbing wit.
And a shank.
Shank with his humour.
Yes, he will shank you for your kindness.
Oh,
shank you very much.
He's
one of his.
He has some slightly annoying catchphrases, but
apart from that,
spank me. Shank you very much. The list goes on.
Wait, what's spank me his catchphrase for?
He's also got a couple of fetishes, but you know, don't we all?
We're not shaming anyone.
Absolutely not.
Can I thank some people?
Yes, please.
Spank some people.
Can I spank some people?
Please.
No.
I would like to spank from Narre Warren South in Victoria.
Nazza Wazza.
South.
Soz.
I would like to thank Maddie Ray.
Maddie.
What about the Sting?
Oh, yes. Like a stingray.
That's it? The Sting?
The Sting. Yeah, because that's like, you know, police sting.
And also...
That's a movie already. I think you might, for confusion, you might have to give
Robert Redford.
Yeah, add someone else in there.
What about the Sting in brackets, not the one with Robert Redford?
Oh, I like that.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, take the mystery out of the mystery.
Yeah. Avoid confusion.
Thank you,
Maddie.
You,
Maddie Ray. What a pleasure. Ray, we're so far away, but soon, again, we will be in the same state.
I just want a quick rundown of what happens in the Sting.
Okay, so Maddie Ray.
He works at a bee factory.
A bee factory?
Yeah.
Are they selling bees or?
No, it's just, it's not their A factory. It's their
secondary
factory where they make their rejected T-shirts.
Okay, what about the boss?
Thank you for being there with me.
What about the boss from Factory A has been murdered and Maddie Ray reckons that if he can solve that murder, he'll be promoted to Factory A.
He'll be promoted.
Yes. And he's got to do some sort of sting operation.
Yeah.
So this bee pun works on many levels.
So he hires Poirot.
Yes, to come to Narre Warren South.
Poirot. And David Sucker comes in and saves the day together. Hi, say.
Hi, say.
Did not get a lot in the room, but fuck, it's good.
It didn't.
Go watch it. Yeah. Watch it and you'll know.
It deserved a lot more.
I say.
Listening back, we love it.
Yeah. And the listeners are going, holy shit, that is incredible. Did I accidentally sit on my TV remote and Poirot is on?
I say.
Oh, wow. Mm. It is good. You're an artist.
Gregory Hastings. What a man.
Arthur Hastings.
And can I thank, finally, is this Denmark?
No, Deutschland, that will be. That will be Germany.
Isn't it weird that... I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but isn't it weird that we don't let... Germans call their country whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, it's weird.
We call it Deutschland. I think you
mean Germany.
It's real weird.
But like every country's like that though.
But not normally changing that much. Like French say Australie or
Finland
something.
Finland is completely different.
Yeah, we should just call it what they call it.
Yeah. And like every Italian city we've anglicized or we've Englishized.
Yeah.
It's not Rome.
Right, what is it, Roma?
Roma.
Yeah, but at least they haven't totally changed it.
A word that we're very capable of.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Well, like, so anyway. It's like they've taken the fun, like Munich, boring, München, that's a fun time.
So fun.
And that is where Martin is from. I know. Named?
Martin Dodel. Dodel?
Dodel-e-hoo.
Dodel. Martin Dodel.
Martin, that's great. Thank you so much.
The case?
Careful not to dawdle.
Oh.
That's a real threat.
I like that a lot. Often murder mysteries do have like little phrases like that as their title.
Yeah.
Right. Careful not to dawdle.
At the end, you're like, oh, that's what
that means. That's why.
Careful not to dawdle.
Someone stalking and killing in the park.
In München.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. A Bierstein's involved?
Probably.
Oh, the Bierstein killer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not Martin.
Okay. Again, he's got to save the day.
München is such a pretty city. Have you been?
I have not been.
Oh,
I've
you
not
must.
Been either.
Oh, you must. Oh, you must.
Well, you know, can we pop over?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a show for one. Let's look at the numbers, see if he's got any friends over there.
Surely he'd have us in his living room.
Oh, that'd be great.
Martin?
Martin?
Hello?
Hello? Is this thing on? Hello, Mark.
Come through loud and clear. And again, thank you to all the patrons or the people at Patreon that do get involved. If you want to be on this list, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and we'll give you rewards in exchange for your support. Of course, you get the normal podcast, but also two bonus episodes every single month can be unlocked at a certain level, and we do shout-outs. Our Christmas cards are coming up again. We're going to do them. So if you want to get involved, you pledge at a certain level. Mm. All the details are there. If you want to get a Christmas card, you got to get on it soon.
I've been chucking up some tour videos, sort of unedited clips from the road for patrons to watch.
Yeah, you sort of see the way we live and the way our minds unravel on the road.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
We're all a bit unhinged.
It's been, a bit of fun. People seem to be enjoying those.
We also recorded a bonus episode after this lead show that you just heard, which was very loose and very silly and fun, a bit of a quiz, and I will be putting that up soon as a Patreon-only exclusive. So if you want to hear that, get on over to the Patreon.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. That's, in terms of support, just listening to us means so much.
Yeah.
We really do appreciate that heaps. If you have time, it would be so nice if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever your thing is. Give us a little message. We read all those and they're always so nice to read. Also, you can find us online at Do Go On Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and our email address is dogoonpod@gmail.com. And we reply to all the emails, so feel free. And I'm doing my best to get back to most tweets, although... Bloody hell, you love to tweet. Jess gets emails and she's like, oh no, there's a handful of emails today. And I'm like, yeah? Well, cool. Good on you, Jess. Thanks for coming by.
This is when I pop past his house some mornings. I lost Quick his phone update. Number. I just like to stop by and let him know. Maybe I should just get your phone number.
Yeah. I'll pass that on to you now. Oh. Have you got a pen there?
4. Anyway, yes, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And all the contact details for all that stuff is on that website Matt mentioned, dogoonpod.com. But until next week, thank you so much for listening. And until then, I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.